So it's different ways to raise money, and we've got to find out what some of the latest are to that end. David Pomeran is a senior counsel of the Consumer Bankers Association. He should know it all. And, David, good to have you on the program. Thanks for your time. How are you?
Good, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Presently, now, all I know about this particular service, the one I'm thinking of, is the commercial I see, where you take a picture of the check and it's automatically deposited. In other words, I haven't done it, but I know people who do.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is, of course, I could take a picture of any check, whether or not there's any money in the bank or not. So is this – not every bank is doing this, correct? Some are, some aren't, to begin with.
Yeah, not every bank's doing it. And some banks – you know, most banks are doing it differently. You know, it's bank-specific. You know, the technology is up and coming. You know, banks are striving to meet their customers where they are, and they're increasingly online or on their mobile phones. The technology itself is, you know, something that is constantly in a state of transition. It's a state of innovation. Banks are competing with each other to provide better services for their customers, and the innovation of these products is continuous, and it comes at a cost to the banks to provide that service.
But to what degree is there a cost to the bank? As an example, let's say I go to an ATM and it asks if I want to check my balance. Okay, sure. And they just charge me $3 to check my balance. How does it cost the bank anything for me to check my balance electronically?
Well, again, it's bank specific, and most banks, where if you were to go to a ATM that offered the service that was offered by your bank, so if you banked with a you know, bank A and you went to a bank A ATM,
right,
that charge wouldn't exist. So it's you know, it's in that specific case you would be charged for the process of going from bank to bank. So if you went to bank B's ATM to check your balance at bank A, so there's a process in the systems that have to generate that kind of information and have interplay with each other.
Do those banks charge each other? I go to bank A and I go to bank B's ATM. Do you want to check your balance? Sure. And then they charge me $3. Did my bank A charge bank B to let me do that?
Again, that would be specific between the banks that are doing it themselves. But generally, there's not a fee associated, I believe, with the banks that are offering it to each other. It's the customer that would pay that fee.
Yeah, and I'm all for capitalism. I understand all that. Just there are certain fees out there. Say if I go to a well-known ticketing company and they charge me a convenience fee to do all the work myself, I tend to wonder why I'm paying them for the chance to use my own printer. And they'll call it a convenience. And there are some bank fees I would put in that same category. There was a point in time in my lifetime where banks tended to make their money from the interest that was gleaned from the money they lent to other people. They made loans and you paid them back with interest, and that's how they made their money. And I'm sure they still make a lot of money that way today. To what degree do you know, to what degree have fees made up a percentage of bank profits over time? Do you happen to know?
Well, no, I can't give you an actual percentage, but fees are increasingly important. We, you know, currently the current state of the economy, we live in a very low rate, low growth economy right now. Banks aren't making as much money on the money that you deposit with them and are looking for new ways to generate revenue. The revenue is generated sometimes through fee income, and in this current regulatory environment, it's increasingly difficult to make up for that income. So, traditionally in the past, our banks have offered complimentary services such as free checking accounts and things like that. But these services come at a cost to the bank to provide. There's a process in covering the cost to actually provide the service. There's systems cost. There's also costs associated with fraud and the like. So banks are looking for new ways in this regulatory environment, in a low-rate, low-growth environment, to make up some of that revenue. So some of those traditional services that you were free at one point and you're starting to see some fees associated with that. But I think it's very important to remember that, you know, you have to look at the value proposition of the services that are being provided. You know, increasingly, customers are going mobile, and that mobile technology is saving them a lot. It's saving them the expense of having to get in their car and go to the bank or the ATM to make a simple deposit or to transfer money between accounts or to make a payment to a third party. It's also saving them a lot of time and frustration. So I think when you look at the services that are being provided and some of the fees, and most of the fees are relatively nominal, you look and you have to determine what that value proposition is. Now, the great thing about the American banking system is that consumers have choice. They have a lot of choice. There's 7,000 banks in this country, and there's many products offered at each bank. So customers need to be savvy in choosing their financial institutions that meet the needs of their particular situation. So
I think if banks wanted to save money, they should stop opening so many branches. I mean, the more access we have to first ATMs and now other forms of mobile banking and banking online, why do we continue to see new branches of banks going up? There have to be five times the number of bank branches in America than there were 20 years ago when the ATM came along.
Well, some consumers still prefer to have a presence of their bank in their a brick and mortar presence of their bank in their neighborhood, and certain business models are centered around that brick and mortar bank space. Certain types of business are more likely to happen in a branch setting, such as a small business transaction rather than a personal consumer transaction. So branches, while still relevant, are going away in many institutions. A lot of banking institutions have reduced the number of branches, although it may not seem so, have reduced the number of branches that are actually out in the community. So it's a constant battle between whether or not the channels of delivery for banking products are in a bank, in a brick and mortar situation, or on an electronic situation. And there's we're in a transition phase, and a lot of banks are contemplating the cost behind each channel.
Well, I don't know if I've read this stat from your organization or where, but you're with the Consumer Bankers Association again. My guest is David Pomeran. But it said that when people go to an ATM, instead of going to a teller, that on average it saves that bank $3.80 by not going to the customer service agent that we used to call the teller. So if I'm mobile banking, I'm already saving the bank $3.80 by not going there. Then you're suggesting that the convenience of not having to go there should be paid to the bank as well. All the convenience seems to be going in one direction. Would you agree?
I agree with that. But you have to look at, there's still a cost associated with providing a mobile product or an online service. So although it may be more efficient to the bank itself, the product still has to be paid for. And again, the regulatory environment, and look, I sit here in Washington and I see on an almost daily basis new regulations coming out that are affecting the way banks make money. So they have to look for new ways to make money. Now, the mobile technology that we're talking to is increasingly popular. So the more people that migrate to this technology, we have to worry about things like fraud and cybersecurity and all those kinds of issues. So there is a very real cost associated with these products. And so while it may be more efficient than an ATM deposit or a teller deposit, it is not free. It is not something that banks simply just can generate out of thin air and not come at some kind of cost to that.
Last question, and I'll let you go. Has there been a fee levied by a bank that consumers balked at, and then the bank rescinded the fee?
Well, I think we're all very aware of a very famous one that came out of a very large bank here in America, but. I'll get back to consumer choice. And look, these fees aren't these fees are transparent and clear. Banks are very upfront about the fees that they're charging. So consumers have choices, and they can assess those fees and make the decisions whether or not that fee is worth the service that they're going to be provided. And if it's not, they have the ability to go to many, many different institutions to meet their needs. And so I would say that if a customer thinks a fee is not right for them, I would recommend that they go to other institutions and look for the products and services that best fit their situation.
Okay. David, we take that advice. I appreciate your time. David Pomeran, who's the Senior Counsel, Consumer Bankers Association. When the reason comes up, we'll be in touch. How about that? But have a good day.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
David, thank you. And to your points, just ahead, promise. This is WGN.